Hello and welcome to the Care for the Family podcast with me, Mark Chester, Stephen Hayes.
Hello.
And our special guest today is Dan O'Connor.
Hi.
So this is the Dad Cave, where we discuss fatherhood in its varying forms and unpack some of the things that often just don't get talked about. So Dan, let's kick it off with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so both myself and my wife work here for Care for the Family. Got two little girls, Seren, who's 7, and little Lucy, who's 4. So just started at school this year, so exciting time. So yeah,
brilliant. And you were a stay-at-home dad at one stage, weren't you?
I was, yeah. With after my wife Felicia finished maternity leave for Lucy, our second daughter. Yeah, it coincided really with me being made redundant, so it kind of all made sense really for me to take over the parenting role, if you like, and stay at home while Alicia worked. So
great. Well, we're going to come back to that in a little while, because we always start off these podcasts by sharing a dad joke each. So okay, Let's go to Stephen first of all, because okay, he's the funniest guy out of us all generally.
I'm sure that's not true.
So we're going to go to Stephen and he can tell us his dad joke. Off you go.
Well, it's actually an original. So why wouldn't the frog get married?
I don't know. Why wouldn't the frog get married?
He struggled with long-term commitment.
Oh, well,
that's decent.
It's not one of your best, I have to say. But it is definitely a dad joke.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell you mine and then we'll come to you, Dan, because I'm sure yours is going to be better than that one and probably better than mine. So I spoke at one of these podcasts about how my children didn't sleep. Well, often when they wouldn't have an afternoon nap, I always felt they were guilty of resisting arrest. Boom, boom. Yes, laughter in the studio here.
No, that's pretty good.
Right. Yeah. It's one of my better ones, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't make me... There's some of them I've wanted to actually physically walk out of the room into spare. This one, I felt the need to stay, so...
Yeah, you just shrugged, really. There wasn't much laughter, just a shrug.
Yeah.
So that was a good response.
Yeah.
Come on, Dan, over to you.
What have you got?
Oh, this comes from many years of watching CBeebies. But what did the drummer call his two daughters?
Don't know. What did the drummer call his two daughters?
And a one and a two.
I think that probably is the best of the three, Stephen, you have to admit.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take the hit.
So in this episode, we're talking about stay-at-home dads, which is why Dan is with us. So, Dan, you've started to share a little bit about why you became a stay-at-home dad. And was it a sort of proactive decision, or was it something that you sort of reacted to the circumstance of you being made redundant? Or was there a mixture of both in that?
Probably a mixture of both. I mean, really the situation that we found ourselves in at the time, it kind of made sense, I suppose financially and career-wise, at least she was in a good job here at, Care for the Family. She was happy here. She enjoys the work. So it kind of made sense that she wanted to kind of go back to work after being with Lucy, obviously through the maternity leave. And and then for me, just the timing, really, it just made sense for me to take the role as the stay-at-home dad, if you like.
Yeah.
But it was a tough decision, because obviously, at least there's that wanting of staying home, with the children as well. So she's going back to something that she loved, but at the same time, there's that, there's the missing of the children. And for me, it's a different world, I suppose, in a way, because I'd been at work pretty much since I left school. Mm. And this was me kind of staying at home. And at the time as well, I was studying a diploma as well. So I was doing that like one day a week. So it kind of tied into that as well, that it kind of gave me a bit of time to do the studying and also look after the children. So
and what were your, so obviously, yeah, it was a little bit circumstantial, that kind of played a factor in it.
Mm.
So once the decision had been made and you'd figured out that was going to be the best way to move forward, what was your like general just feeling internally about that? Perhaps some of the stuff you might not have necessarily verbalised, but just your kind of initial feeling about that decision.
I was quite anxious, to be honest with you, because it's the two of you, and then you feel very responsible then, and it's, you wake up and Alicia goes off to work and you think, right, okay, I've just got the kids, what am I going to do with them for 8 hours until mummy comes home?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that, and you know, what am I going to do with them, you know, for the day, you know, entertain them. I didn't want to just stick them in front of the TV or anything like that. Yeah. So it's taking them out to the park and doing things and, toddler groups or to the park or whatever. Yeah. But it's...
I remember the first time on that, I think, like, I remember the first time my wife left me with our daughter for a day. Up until that point, I'd kind of thought, you know, I'd go off to work and in my head, they're just having fun all day and coffee dates and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, suddenly being faced with one full day was kind of like, what the heck am I going to do for a full day? When do I feed them? So yeah, was there quite, knowing that was going to be like an ongoing thing, that must have been pretty daunting in some ways.
Yeah, because my oldest daughter was just kind of starting nursery and things like that. So we had a little bit of a routine, you know, getting her to nursery. And then I was left with this period of time, especially with the little one. And it's, you know, what do you do with that? And I was trying to do a bit of studying, I suppose, at the time. Saw a few groups. Luckily, locally, there was, music group for toddlers. So that was fun. So we did that, dropped Sarah off to school, then went straight to the toddler group. And so tried to fill in the time that way. Family live a little way away. So, you know, I felt somewhat kind of isolated, I suppose. A lot of my friends would be kind of at work doing the kind of 9-to-5 thing.
My children are, as you know, 22 and 18, and I've had different sort of periods in life where I've been able to work part time and look after them part time. Yeah. So I've never been a full time stay at home dad, but I've had times when I've been able to be around, and I've really enjoyed that time. But I think it does come with its challenges, which we'll talk about in a second. Yeah. But I've really enjoyed that time. And it's funny, as you were talking now, I'm thinking that, you know, they're 22 and 18. My daughter's at university, but that means she's at home a lot of the year. Mm. My son's still at home. Mm. I work at home, but I work part-time. So I have a couple of days a week where I'm not working.
Yeah.
I still very much feel like a stay-at-home parent, actually, in many ways. You know, even though they're adults, I'm still parenting.
Yeah.
And I'm still dealing with some of the issues that come up when they're around house during the day. I'm taking them places, perhaps go with them to a medical appointment or something like that. Yeah. It still goes on. It's not just about when they're little, I think.
Yeah. How do you feel? It kind of dawned on me then. You never hear of a stay-at-home mum. It's just mum or stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
Like, what's your feeling about just that term as a...
Oh, it'd be great if it was just, I'm dad. I'm staying at home. I'm not working dad. I'm just dad. I think that'd be great if it was more like that, because... Certainly, you go to the pub or you meet other people and say, what do you do, kind of thing. And, you know, almost, I'm a stay-at-home dad. It kind of almost kills the conversation a lot of the time, you know.
Tumbleweed moments
thing. So that's difficult. And somehow it almost feels like a stay-at-home dad is not as worthy or as a kind of a working dad, if you like. Maybe it's the financial thing and it's the kind of bringing home the bacon kind of thing, you know. But it's, you know, obviously with the experience now that I've had, I'm so grateful for that experience, because as you said yourself, with your children growing up, Lucy's now starting school, but I've had that time, you know, with the children that so many dads who do the 9-to-5 don't get.
Yeah.
You know, I had got an elderly next door neighbour. And, you know, I'd be walking up the path, you know, with Lucy in hand, with the shopping bags and the other kind of thing, just walking down the path, and it'll be almost like, have you found work yet? And I'm kind of, well, this is, it's not as if I'm, you know, sitting down doing nothing. This is kind of where I'm at. This is where, you know, we're at the minute. This is my kind of, you know, job at the moment.
Yeah.
But it has all changed. And as mentioned, going to the music group, the toddler group, there'd probably be me, there'd be loads of, obviously, mums there. There might be the odd grandparent or the granddad or something like that. So in those environments, it's kind of difficult, you know. And, you know, picking up my daughter from kind of nursery again, school playground and everything, there'd be mums there.
Yeah.
And they have very different conversations to what you'd have with another bloke, you know. So it's...
How did you feel in those groups? You know, you've talked about these groups that you go to.
Yeah.
You're perhaps the only dad in the room or in a small minority. Yeah. How did people respond to you in those groups?
Oh, really, my focus was on, it was with Lucy, particularly with this music group, you know. So you play the games with Lucy. My focus was a lot on her, to be honest with you. But looking around the room, you could see that the mother's talking to each other and, you know, again, like chatting with the kids. And you felt a bit, you know, on the end, but... having fun with your daughter is fantastic, you know. So I loved being there, but it was Arcona's wedding, done the music thing and got out. There was no kind of real chit-chat, you know.
Did you ever get to get the opportunity to get together with other dads and their children during the day at all? Did that... Was there other stay-at-home dads around? Or other?
Very, very rarely. Very rarely. Be if maybe someone was off on holiday or something from work, or it might be the odd day here and there, but really male company was pretty much non-existent, you know, during the day. And I think my wife recognised that as well and was really almost encouraged me to... You don't get this often when your wife encourages you to go out with the lads, but she was she was really encouraging me almost to... You know, to go out and meet the lads for a drink or whatever from time to time, just to keep me.
Sometimes wonder whether that's the key to it. I'm a member of an all day breakfast club, so we kind of go out and have a
hang on. Did you say you're a member of an all day breakfast club?
I'm a member of an all day breakfast club, so we go out and have a greasy spoon cafe breakfast every week. And actually, it's an interesting club because there's two levels of membership of this club. Okay, so there's the full membership. And then there's a second level of membership, which is a bit below the full membership. And they're
called... What, you don't get fried bread or...?
Well, they're called tomato members, so the second level, okay? So if you have a tomato with your breakfast, which the founding members of the club, of which I am one, felt that was totally inappropriate to have a tomato with an all-day breakfast. So anybody who comes along, we watch what they have the first time. Watch what they have. And if they have a tomato with their breakfast, they're a tomato member. And we're the full members.
So what else is entailed within this membership?
Well,
are there benefits?
No. Absolutely nothing. It's just the stigma of being either a full member or tomato member, really. But and we just have a breakfast together at lunchtime. And I particularly remember one session. So there's some guys who are working at home or working part time. There's some stay at home dads who are involved in it as well. And I remember one dad who was a stay at home dad. He contacted me before one of the meetings, and he said, can I bring my daughters along? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And so he brought his young daughters along to the all day breakfast club, and it was fantastic because these is two young girls sat and had a breakfast with all these group of dads and men together. Mm. And it was just, the dads loved it, having the kids there, and the kids loved being with the group of men. And it was just, you know, it was a fantastic moment, really, to share together.
What's it been like, the reality of day-to-day looking after two girls, and how Alicia has stayed in that conversation?
Oh, dear. Yeah, it is a nightmare. I mean, the hair alone, I don't know what to do with hair. I mean, I remember having this, like, the school photo done, and I thought, so Alicia had done the girl's hair, and I was like, please, just stay, just, I didn't, you know, just please stay as you are, just enough for the photos, there's a nice photo of you, but... Yeah, any time the girls want plaits or whatever, I just kind of, no, I can't. I still at this stage, I don't know how to do plaits or anything like that. But I mean, dressing the girls, I mean, luckily now they've got quite good fashion sense and they're able to pick their own clothes out of the wardrobe, and I don't have much to do with it anymore. But back then, I'd more than happy just stick them in a Fulham shirt with a pair of shorts or jeans or whatever, and that'd be it. But yeah, and sometimes when I did go to dresses, I remember there was what I thought was a dress, and it was more of a long kind of nighty kind of shirt, and I thought that looks pretty good. Put a little belt around. I thought it looks all right, and so off we went then, and got a text from Alicia then, and how the girls, oh, would you send me a picture? You know, that'd be nice. So of course I sent the picture, and like, what are they wearing? You know, and, you know, that's not actually a dress, Dad. You know, and.
Brilliant.
And trying to put tights on a toddler when they don't want to have tights on.
Wriggles
and it's a nightmare. But it's we're getting there. But I'm leaving them to make their own decisions now. They've got a lot more fashion sense than I have. So
I love the fact that your go-to clothes was a Fulham football shirt.
Absolutely.
That's just fantastic.
My crowning moment was I bought our daughter a Beatles onesie. And that every time I get her in it, I feel a sense of pride. I think sometimes when we pass on that our own tastes, it's
got to be done.
Are they going to be able to change from Fulham, or is that a done thing now?
That's going to be a done thing. God bless them.
I've
had my father-in-law trying to stick a Liverpool bib on them back in the day, and that's,
I mean, no. Yeah, no, you don't.
Unless they're going to be sick, then maybe
you do not want that. Above all things.
We won't even talk about Manchester United bibs. I don't think they even make them, to be honest. But anyway. It's really interesting you're talking about kind of dressing your kids, really. Yeah. And I mean, those days are gone for me, obviously, because they don't respect my decisions. It's the opposite way around now. So my kids are looking at what I'm wearing and telling me I should be wearing something different. So I remember not so long ago. I must have been having a midlife crisis or something, but I bought a T-shirt and it was a muscle fit T-shirt. So I popped it on and I just remember seeing Billy's face when I walked into the room with this muscle fit T-shirt on. He just looked at me in horror, didn't say anything, but just shook his head
as if
to say, no way, Dad. So it went back to the shop. I didn't wear it.
Did it say muscle fit on it?
It did say muscle fit.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. Because I've bought a T-shirt before that just seemed like it was a nice fitting T-shirt. And it said muscle fit on it. Surely that defeats the purpose.
Well, yeah.
It's giving the game away.
Thankfully, this is a podcast. Most people won't be able to see what we look like, and we can just pretend that a muscle fit T-shirt should work well for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who's just listening and not watching, I can say, if you want to know what Mark looks like, think Schwarzenegger circa 81, for sure.
I wish.
But even the kids' clothes, you know, the size of those clothes, then they no way mirror the actual ages of the kids.
No.
It was like age 4 and they'd like age 7 to 8 clothes or something. And it's like, how are you? that's difficult enough as us, a whole different thing. But the size of kids' clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter's thighs are always a couple of months ahead of the rest of her, so it is a challenge for sure.
Dan, how did Alicia feel about you being a stay-at-home dad?
I think it was more that she missed the time with the kids, I think. Right. You know? And now, luckily, with the way things have worked out, it's Alicia has a day off a week. She's added kind of more hours elsewhere, so she does get a bit of time, you know, on a Friday, you know, picking the kids up from school. But then I suppose it's an instinct for a mother then to want to be with the girls, you know, growing up and going through the kind of toddler years with kind of Lucy, if you like. So there's, to an extent, you know, I'm sure that there's a bit of regret possibly there, right. That, you know, she wouldn't have been able to do that. But then the way things are financially, we wouldn't have been able to afford, you know, kind of afford that anyway.
Yeah.
But,
How do you think we can support dads who are in this position, and mums as well? Because obviously they're parenting together. How can we support families who you know, who find themselves where the dad's staying at home, looking after the children? Is there stuff that we can all do? Do you think?
I think the loneliness is a big thing, and just the when you're going into groups and there's a lot of mothers, and that it's a social aspect for them. You're in danger, I suppose, with the dads being at home. You know, if you're not careful, if you don't have that. If you don't have an interest outside of the children, luckily I was studying, but there needs to be kind of other groups when you can interact with men that are doing similar things. Because, you know, I was learning on the job, and sometimes I thought it would have been nice to bounce off ideas off, you know, another dad who's, you know, who's going through a similar thing, you know.
One element, Dan, I wondered about just that dynamic is a conversation... kind of somewhat tongue-in-cheek conversation that Beck and I had in the early stages, especially when I came back to work, was almost like, who's the most tired? And it's and of course it's quite an inflammatory question anyway. Oh, yes. And of course you're both tired in different ways. Yeah. And I think, you know, there was days where I came home and, you know, might have had a couple of heavy meetings or a lot you know, creatively, a lot of output where it's quite tiring, and then you come home and you're straight into it. You know, if you're the parent that's at home, that lack of, there's no escape, there's no headspace, there's no respite. This is kind of like flip the scenario. Like, what was that like for you and Alicia? Like,
for me, it gave me a new perspective, certainly, what happens at home, if you like. You know, just because, you know, my mother would have kind of stayed at home and that, but it's... Yeah, I mean, I'd be tired because I'd be looking after the kind of the girls all day, and it's almost when, you know, mummy came home, had the kids over, you know, thought I could have a bit of a breather, you know.
And sit in a dark room for half an hour.
Shaking.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Alicia would come home and she's like, oh, I'm tired. And then it kind of dawned on us, I've been in her position as well, where I've been to work, done the full 9 to 5 and felt tired. And so all of a sudden we could both see it from each other's point of view, which was interesting. And so I think it was almost that we're both tired and we've just got to kind of stick together, get through to bedtime, but then crash, you know, really. It was getting to the kids to bed and things. But it is tired. And I think we looked at each other's faces, you know. I think there was sometimes when Alicia opened the door, there was a face of, you know, pure probably desperation, you know.
Yeah.
I do need 5 minutes, or at least you had a bad day and you can tell you're really going by a lot of the body language and you know, and how they're feeling, then you obviously do your best to support each other. But there's an appreciation that both of us have tough days, you know.
I'm wondering, you know, if we could put our heads together and come up with an invented device that measures tiredness, we could avoid all these arguments. We could make a fortune from that.
It's just scales of tiredness and different tiredness, isn't it?
But it's
very, very helpful to get that kind of dad perspective on it.
Sometimes I'll be in the middle of the day, you know, and I love football, and sometimes I just put on Facebook, you know, Serena Lucy 5, Daddy Neil kind of thing. Because sometimes I feel absolutely battered.
Yeah.
And other days you feel like you're winning, but, you know, those days are not that often.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, in reflection of your time as a stay-at-home dad, how do you feel about it looking back? I mean, you're still a dad. You're still parenting day in, day out. But I'm just thinking, how do you look at that? When you look back at how you've parented so far, including that time as a stay-at-home dad, how do you feel about it?
I feel really good about it now because, you know, the kids grow up and they change, you know, from 1 year to the next. They're almost completely different people. So I've had the toddler years, which have been great. The toddler years I'll never get again. And I've spent some, you know, quality time, you know, at home with that. And to some extent, if I was in a high-flying job or whatever, I would have might have missed that. And it's almost what we're talking a lot about finances, but what price can you put on, you know, spending quality time with your kids. It's difficult, you know. I look back on it and it was tough, you know. I think I must have been mad trying to do a diploma looking after kids at the same time. But you get there, and then when you walk them off to school like the first day, and it's, I mean, remember there was the pub around the corner for us, we just had a refurbishment the day when Lucy went to school for the first time. So just happened to be, at least she had the day off, so we just dropped him off and went straight to the pub then and just sat down, like, we've done it, you know. There's that kind of feeling, you know. And then now we're starting to, you know, I'm obviously back in work now, more full time, and luckily we have you know, the support around the school with breakfast club. Probably not as good a breakfast as you go. I'm not sure they get, like, you know,
tomatoes
or anything like that. It's probably a bit of toast. But we have that option, and we can drop them off to breakfast club, and there's after school. But so the childcare is there for us to go back to work now. So it's good.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Brilliant. Dan, it's been great to have you in the Dad Cave. Thanks for joining us today. He's been brilliant, hasn't he, Stephen?
Absolutely fantastic. And I think it's we're trying to talk about things that often don't get talked about. And I think this is something that a lot of people will find really helpful.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating subject talking about stay-at-home dads. So thank you for joining us for the Dad Cave podcast. And we hope you'll be able to join us next time.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.